We're learning the introduction of Rabbi Simcha Mitvinsk to Sefer Vayikra. And he faces a great challenge, which he took upon himself, and that is to reconcile the two versions, the two views on a great controversy about Sefer Vayikra and Karbonos, the views of the Rambam as opposed to the views of the Ramban. The Rambam, in the third chelik of his Mor Nevuchim, a book which he tries to justify the laws of the Torah based on rational understanding, Karbonos is God's way of allowing us to worship Him with a capital H in the same way, Lahavdil, the idol worship, the idolaters worship their idols with their sacrifices, but to redirect our sacrifices towards the service of God so that it keeps us away from other methods of worship that are so popular and so basic to the idol worshippers. And the bottom line is that according to the Rambam, the whole concept of Karbonos is simply a gzera, so to speak. It's almost like a fence to prevent us from Avodah Zarah. There's no inherent meaning to the Karbonos per se. And from the Rambam's perspective, it would seem that if there was no issue of Avodah Zarah, there would be no problem, no point to the whole enterprise of Karbonos. Karbonos have no significance in and of themselves. Could you imagine, we're talking about one-fifth of the Torah, and probably it's a lot more than just one-fifth of the Torah, because there are Karbonos in Breishis coming out of Agazudis. There are Karbonos in Sefer Shmos. There are Karbonos in Bamidbar all over the place. And all this entire enterprise, it's one-sixth of Shas, and it's a lot more than one-sixth of Shas. It's all just a way of countering the influence that penetrated into the Jewish community from the idol worshippers. That's all it's about, just to prevent us from idol worship, to allow us to do that which was so typical of the pulchan, you know, the service of the idol worshippers, to allow us to do that, to redirect that force within us and those powers that allure us towards the true God. Nothing in and of itself is significant about Karbonos. And of all the Rishonim, the one who took sharp opposition to the Rambam is the Ramban. In one passage, the Ramban takes the approach that Karbonos have a powerful psychological, spiritual impact on the person who brings the Karbon. He envisions himself as if he himself were on the Mizbeach. The Zrikas Adam is his Zrikas Adam. The Chote experiences tshuva on the most profound level through the Avodas HaKarbon. And the Ramban goes into great detail about the different parts of the Karbon that have to be burnt on the Mizbeach and so forth and so on. But then, in the Ramban, right here at the beginning of Vayikra, in Pasuk Tes of Perek Aleph, the Ramban gives a much more profound understanding of Karbonos based on what he calls Sod, the secrets of the Torah, and the mystical insights, especially with regard to Karbonos, and how much the Karbonos have an impact above in the worlds, the Olamos. Again, this is way beyond our comprehension, but I would tell you to look in the Art Scroll translation of the Ramban, but you won't find anything there. Because the Art Scroll has an editorial decision that all those parts of the Ramban that are introduced by the word sod, which is about one third of the commentary of the Ramban al Torah, by the way, are all omitted from the translations, beyond the scope of this elucidation of the Ramban. So you're not going to get much help from Art Scroll in this case. And you won't get much help from me either. So Rabbi Simcha, in this introduction to the book of Vayikra, took it upon himself to make harmony, to create a unity government here between the Rambam and the Ramban about the issue of Karbonos and its significance, to reconcile two what seemingly polar opposite approaches that are mutually exclusive and to integrate them into one whole, satisfying both the view of the Rambam and the Ramban. And Rabbi Simcha is so convinced that he's right, he believes that both the Rambam and the Ramban would sign on to his understanding as presented here in the beginning of the Meshech Chochmah to Karbonos. I'm going to read some of the text. I'll be skipping some other parts of the text of this Hakdama, and I'll be summarizing other parts that aren't even written here in the Ramban, in the Meshech Chochmah, based on the Sugya in Masechta Megillah. He mentions the Kadmonim, a reference to both the Rambam, who saw in Karbonos an action that was meant to counter the influence of Avodah Zarah, and the Ramban, who saw a very positive force and purpose for Karbonos. Hamora, he calls him, the Baal Hamor Nevuchim, Omar Kihu Laharchik, Lev HaAdam, Me'avodah Zarah. Ramban, Viseyoso. And I think here Rav Meshech Chochmah adds the word Viseyoso, meaning those who agree with Ramban, because that group certainly forms the majority of the Rishonim, headed up by the Ramban. But also the question, there's so many indications that when the Migdash Amir Tzashem will be rebuilt, at the time the Mashiach will be bringing Karbonos, the mitzvah of Karbonos is not a mitzvah l'sha'a, it's a mitzvah l'doros, it's eternal for all generations, and it goes even beyond the enticing influence at that time of Avodah Zarah. V'omru, and according to the Ramban, Kihu lekarev kol hakochos ha'olamos, there are different forces up in the world, and some sort of counter others, and they have to be united in a world that's ideal, without fragmentation, without disintegration, and the Karbonos play a major role in creating that unity of the forces up in the upper worlds, such that the Torah could describe Karbonos as Reach Nichoach Lashem. And once again, the Rambam in his Mora will say that Reach Nichoach Lashem maybe should be reinterpreted. God doesn't smell, he doesn't have a nose, he's not physical or corporeal, and so forth and so on. And it's very interesting that the Meshech Chochmah, when he presents here the Ramban's view and the view of most of our teachers, our giants, he uses a mashal of electricity. He says that there are spiritual electric forces that work up in Shamayim, and here, down on earth, through the enterprise of Karbonos, according to Ramban v'Seyoso, that's how we activate this electricity that has an amazing almost ripple effect in the higher world. Sasher Pulas, Bepulas HaKohen, the Kohen represents the agent to bring about this Gavhus, this greatness, Bolomos, Hashonim in the worlds that up above that seem to be different one from the other, and to unite them in the most lofty way, Keyadua. And then he writes, V'ulai Yeshlach Ria. So those are the three words that we want to underline, because those are the three words that outline the agenda or the purpose, the goal of the Ramban, Yeshlach Ria. And the words Yeshlach Ria mean to find some sort of compromise. Hachra is a compromise. So very often the Gemara will quote two opinions and then it will be machria. Machria means to bring together the two seemingly mutually exclusive opinions and integrate them into one whole, one unity. That's called yesh lachria. Ulai is the humility of Rameir Simcha. Sometimes he uses the word yitachen, sometimes viulai, and he always means to imply this is my insight and this is what I believe, but he calls it viulai because he's very humble about it. Now, if I was teaching a class, and what I like to do when I teach a class is I quiz the students, which is very hard to do with adults and certainly more difficult to do online, I would ask you how to read the next few words in the Meshech Chachma Ki Karbonos, and then it says Beis Mem Hei. What is Beis Mem Hei? That's my quiz question for today. Alright? Right, so there's a komatz under the beis, a komatz under the mem, and this is the key word for the Ramban, for the Meshech Chachma to find the hachra between the Ramban and the Rambam. And that's the bama. So let's say just a few words of introduction about a bama. At the time that idol worship was very prominent and predominant, the idol worshippers would go from place to place and set up an altar and sacrifice to their gods. And very often, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah would be on a trip, they would be on a journey, and they had certain stops to make because at each stop they would make a bama. And as we said before, they would serve their deities. What's the status of a bama as far as Jewish law is concerned? Obviously, we're going to use the bama to bring a korban l'Hashem. That's pashut without saying. Goes without saying. But at some point in time, and the Gemara Megillah is going to address this question, at what exact point in time the bama became prohibited. And in place of the bama, we had the Beis HaMikdash. And we were only permitted to bring a karbon in the Beis HaMikdash. So we have two karbonos, in a sense, split into two roads, two categories. And full sugyas at the end of Masechta Zvachim that are dedicated to the laws of Hakrova B'Bama. Now, we had many Batei Mikdashos. We had the Mishkan, the Asuli Mikdash, the Shachanti B'Socham for 40 years in the Midbar, and then we had Mishkanos in Shiloh and in Nov and in Givon until Shlomo finally built the Beis Olamim in Yerushalayim, in the place that was chosen by Hashem, the area that was purchased by David HaMelech from Arnon, from Yevusi. And the law is as follows. As long as a Migdash stands, then there's only one permitted vehicle of Karbonos. The only venue for Karbonos is in the Migdash. I'll give you an example. Shiloh stood for close to 370 years. So during that period of time, there was no Hakrova B'Bama. But with the destruction of a Migdash, there's a Heter Bamos. And you're allowed to bring a Karbon on a Bama. So I'm just going to ask. So the Meshech Chachma offers the following compromise. Ki Karbonos Bama. If you ask me if the Rambam is correct, the answer is yes. With regard to Karbonos Bama, Haim, the purpose of bringing a Karbon in a Bama, Rak laharchik avodah zara milavavos am Yisrael. The purpose of the Karban on a Bama is to keep us very far distant from imitating the idol worshippers by setting up their altars for the purpose of idolatry. V'lachayin tziva ki aktiru l'shem shamayim. The mitzvah was that on a Bama, be very careful that the akrova should be l'shem shamayim. Now, we have another category, which is fundamentally, essentially different in Karbanos than Bama. And here's where the Ramban is going to be correct, and the Rambam is going to agree. Lo chein Karbanos beis hamigdash, hema vadai lekarev holomos ulechaber dodim. He says that there's no question that with regard to the Karbanos in the Migdash, they are coming to bring worlds together. Dodim, you know, beloveds. He writes that he found in the Ralbag Gersonides in the fancy English, he wrote about different insights into the reasoning of the mitzvos and the Torah laws, derak bebomos u'mizbeach u'maktir, that on a bomo it's only for the purpose of setting up a mizbeach and being maktir. Sha'af shahayu mosros ein b'hem kavona atzmis. So the Ralbag himself says about bomos that they don't have some inner, essential, inherent meaning to them. And the Ralbag is able to amplify and embellish a certain pasuk that seems to contradict itself in Sefer Melachim, which says that on the one hand, Vayehav Shlomo es Hashem l'leches b'chukas David Aviv, which sounds like the pasuk is lauding Shlomo Melech for following in the statutes of his father David, but yet the pasuk continues and says, "Rak bebomos humizabechu maktir." So this is very strange, because David HaMelech could be maktir in a bama because it was before the Migdash stood, but why would Shlomo HaMelech be described as following in the footsteps of his father and being makriv on a bama when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash? And if you're talking about David HaMelech's period of time before the building of the Beis HaMikdash, then Bama was permissible. But now we're talking about Shlomo HaMelech, and he's being makriv on Bamos. And basically, the Ralbag is going to offer a thesis here that Shlomo HaMelech, up until the time that he built the Beis HaMikdash, he would follow in the footsteps of his father and be makriv baharbe bamos. And this was for a purpose, namely to bring about a state of nevuah. We find in Bilam that sometimes when you bring a bama, you bring a carbon on a bama, then it's dedicated singularly to Hashem, then Hashem will be nearer Elav. But all this took place before the Beis HaMikdash was brought, and then the carbon on a bama would demonstrate our dedication to Hashem as opposed to the idol worshippers. That's before the Mikdash was built. Now, Rav Meir Simcha quotes a Mishnah at the end of Masechta Zvachim, which says, "Ein reach nichoach bebama ktana." Let's just point out that in the language of the Mishnah, there's something called a bama ktana and a bama gedola. A bama gedola is the same as a mishkan. That phrase bama gedola will not be used for the Beis Olamim, the Beis HaMikdash, not the first, the second, or the third. But nevertheless, a bama gedola, for all intents and purposes, has the same status as a mikdash, which means that you're prohibited from bringing a korban on a bama during the time of bama gedola. But if there's no bama gedola, there's no mishkan, then there's a heter bamos, and you're allowed to set up a bama. That's called a bama ktana. And the Mishnah says that there's no reach nichoach on a bama ketana. So the only carbon, and the Torah uses the term reach nichoach throughout Sefer Vayikra, that has a reach nichoach, is only a carbon that's brought in the Mishkan or in the Migdash. And Rav Meir Simcha uses that Mishnah as a proof for the, so to speak, lower level of the carbon in the case of a bama. Reach nichoach is, in the perspective of Meir Simcha, a very critical element in karbanos. And it's indicative of this concept called gavus ha'olamos, l'karev kochos ha'olamos. That reflects itself in what's called reach nichoach. But a bama, we're talking about a bama ketana, that doesn't have reach nichoach. The reach nichoach reveals and describes the inner inherent meaning of the carbon, its significance and its power. The bama has no significance and power in and of itself. Again, it's our way of contradicting the idol worshippers and making a statement that we do the same that they do. We set up our bamas, and we also bring karbanos, but ours are Lashem. And that is a powerful message, but there's no inherent meaning in the carbon in terms of its impact. It's just a pulchan, it's a kind of a form of worship, lafuke, to exclude the worship, the similar kinds of worship of the goyim. And therefore, bama ketana will not have reach nichoach. Reach nichoach is way too critical. And now, Rav Meir Simcha wants to interpret a Gemara Nedarim. The Gemara Nedarim seems to take a very pejorative attitude towards a bama. When the Gemara wants to impress upon us that we should not be taking Nedarim because we're too light about vows and pledges, the Gemara says, Hanoder, if a person takes a ned, there is ki'ilu bana bama. The Gemara is not giving him a very high grade. It's as if he built a bama. And the Gemara wants to say, even if he goes ahead and he fulfills his neder, that is also, he doesn't deserve such credit for that. Right? Tov shelo tidar, misha tidar. And amakaimo, therefore, if he even fulfills his neder, it's ki'ilu hikriv olav carbon. It's as if he brought a carbon on a bama. Now, Rav Meir Simcha has a fascinating explanation as to why taking Nedarim is forbidden in this particular sugya Nedarim, a very negative attitude towards Nedarim, and its parallel is Hakrava Bibama. Hainu She Bibama Shehi Ligdar Atzmo Me'avodah Zarah. A person is setting himself up, so to speak, a fence to distance himself from Avodah Zarah. Bizman She Beis HaMikdash Kayim Hu Oser Resha. If he would have done the same exact act of karbon on a bama during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it would be a violation of a very severe prohibition. It would be Rishos. But Meshagoder Atzmo Me'avodah Zarah. What are you doing? You're building a bama to separate yourself from Avodah Zarah? You don't have to separate yourself. You can have a close relationship to the Almighty, Hashem Beheichel Kodesho, the Yochel Akriv Bamigdash. Why are you setting up Archaka from Avodah Zarah when you could enter into the Migdash, get the real thing, be close to Hashem and His Heichel, and bring a Karbon? And in that sense, we begin to understand the Gemara's analogy between Hakrava Bibama and a person who takes a neder. Why are you taking a neder to be marchik yourself? It's his way of putting a distance between himself and violating a vera lo mosif pesha. He's just making it worse. Why? Shekvar gidraso Torah b'azarosel ameiros einayim. The Torah gave us enough of a warning and outlined all the prohibitions, and now you're going ahead and adding your own prohibition? Dayecha b'masha asu Torah. El shakta mevakesh lesar alecha dvarim acherim. That's the lashon of Yerushalmi. Why are you taking upon yourself additional isurim when you have the real makoy isur that the Torah gave you? Follow the prescriptions of the Torah. Don't take upon yourself new isurim. And that's why the Gemara in the Dharm has a very negative attitude towards taking the Dharm, very discouraging about taking the Dharm. Tayecha, it's enough what the Torah prohibited you. And now there's a Beis HaMikdash and you can bring a karma me'echal kodesho, and instead you're making harchakas from Avodah Zorah? Why don't you avail yourself of the close relationship God is beckoning you to bring a karban in the Beis HaMikdash me'echal kodesho? But Meir Simcha sees in this Gemara in the Dharm another proof, together with the Mishnah in Zvachim about the absence of Rech Nichoach in Bama, that Bama is only a harchaka from Avodah Zarah. And there's no question in the mind of Meir Simcha that even the Ramban, the Seyasa, would be on board. They would also agree that this is the nature of a Bama. And when the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim is addressing the purpose of Karbanos, he was referring to Obama. And now, Rabbi Simcha wants to explain a very strange shita of Tosfos in the name of Reb Chaim Cohen. Reb Chaim Cohen is a very rare Bala Tosfos, but whenever Tosfos quotes Reb Chaim Cohen, you know that Tzarech Iyun, you have to work very hard. We have a machlokes in the Gemara Megillah on Daf Yud with regard to a very fundamental question. And that's called Kidshel L'Shaita V'Kidshel Asid Lava or Kidshel L'Shaita V'Lo Kidshel Asid Lava. And it has to do with the status of the Beis HaMikdash and perhaps also a similar question about Eretz Yisrael after Churban. After the destruction, where does the Kedusha go? Is it just evaporate or is there still a Kedusha? So if you hold Kidshel L'Shaita V'Kidshel L'Asid Lavo, it means that the sanctity of the Mikdash is eternal, irrelevant to whether the Beis HaMikdash stands or it doesn't stand. If you hold Kidshel L'Shaita V'Lo Kidshel L'Asid Lavo, it means that that sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash is completely undermined, completely negated and voided with Churban. Now the question arises as to what about bringing a Karban on a Bama? Can you bring a Karban on a Bama after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? And before Reb Chaim Cohen in Tosfos, we understood it this way. If I hold Kidshel L'Shaita V'Kidshel L'Asid Lavo, so even though I don't see the physical structure of the Mikdash in front of me, but the Kedusha Oseris Bama still is there. It's inherent in the Makom HaMikdash. And therefore I would not be allowed to bring a Karban on a Bama. If I hold Kidshel L'Shaita V'Lo Kidshel L'Asid Lavo, which means that with Churban the Kedusha is gone, it's void, then I should be allowed to bring a Karban on a Bama. Says Reb Chaim Cohen, Nein. Even if I hold Kidshel L'Shaita V'Lo Kidshel L'Asid Lavo, nevertheless, I'm not allowed to bring a Karban on a Bama. So from the time of Shlomo HaMelech and the building of the first Mikdash and on throughout all of history eternally, there's no heter to bring a Bama. When the Mikdash stands or it doesn't stand, when the Kedusha is there or it's not there, because Reb Chaim Cohen holds that even if Kidshel L'Shaita V'Lo Kidshel L'Asid Lavo, nevertheless, you're not allowed to bring a Karban on a Bama. And the commentaries, Hitlab too, you know, they have a great deal of discomfort to understand, to try to explain Reb Chaim Cohen, if Kidshel L'Shaita V'Lo Kidshel L'Asid Lavo, then the Kedusha which generates the Iser HaKrava B'Bama of the Beis HaMikdash is completely void, why shouldn't I be allowed to bring a Karban on a Bama? He says, Ubazen is Galilee sod. But Meshechidesh Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen B'Megillah Daf Yudam and Aleph. And I would add the word Dafilu. Now the sugya there, I'll just give you a little bit of a background. As you get familiar with the Meshech Chachma, you'll know that his style is to refer you to a sugya, but he very rarely quotes the sugya in depth. He expects you to be a great scholar or to take the time to research it. So the sugya is about Shimon HaTzadik. And not specifically Shimon HaTzadik, because he apparently coincided with the Beis HaMikdash, but his son, who was already alive at the time of the Churban, after the Churban, so he built an altar, a bama, in Mitzrayim. And the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yitzchak, one of the Amoraim, says, Shamati, I heard that there's hakrava going on in a place called Beis Chanyo. And Beis Chanyo was an altar that was built in Mitzrayim. Rashi says, Mizbeach Chanyo Bino Shel Shimon HaTzadik. This guy Chanyo was the son of Shimon HaTzadik. V'ubana Bama B'Mitzrayim L'Shem Shamayim. He had the right intentions in mind. And the Gemara says, Bizman HaZeh. And the Gemara says, Kasavar, he was of the opinion, this Chanyo, that it's not a base of Avodah Zarah, because Kasavar, Kiddusha Rishona Kitchel Shaita V'lo Kitchel Asid Lavo. And Rashi adds, Misha Charva Hutru Habamos. Now the Gemara eventually rejects this, and basically disavows, you know, this Bama in Mitzrayim based on a Mishnah, and the Gemara assumes that no, there's no such thing as a Heter Bamos. And the Rishonim say that apparently Beis Chanyo didn't know this Mishnah existed, or they held that the Mishnah is not relevant to us because we hold Kitchel Shaita V'lo Kitchel Asid Lavo. Anyway, Reb Chaim Cohen says it's impossible. It doesn't make sense that those who supported this building, this enterprise of having an altar in Mitzrayim, that they didn't know about the Mishnah. And he says, V'chilo ha'yodea Mishnah lo ha'mishnayis ha'shiguros b'fi kol. All of the Chachamim knew all the Mishnayis. And not only that, why did the Gemara bother to reject this opinion by quoting a machlokas tanoim? Why did the Gemara just say, Ana di amri kemandi omer lo kitchel asid lavo? The Gemara didn't have to bring an objection from a Mishnah. How could you be makriv in a bama? The Mishnah says that you're not allowed to be makriv in a bama. So first of all, it means that the Gemara is implying that and the Beis Chanyo, etc., they were unaware of a Mishnah. That's impossible. And secondly, why did the Gemara just simply answer that there's a Tana who holds Kitchel Shaita V'lo Kitchel Asid Lavo, and that's why there's a Heter Bamos? So says Reb Chaim Cohen, Nira Dekuli Alma Modu. Everybody agrees that Misha Bana Yerushalayim, when the Beis HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim, Nesra Bamos, for all of eternity there was an Iser Bama. Vishuv Lo Yelem Heter Bibama. So what is the machlokas tanoim relevant to? He says, the leman di omar lo kitchel asid lavo. Savar di apim mekomo shel mizbeach einam yecholim lahakriv achshav. The kosh came b'boma. The point of lo kitchel l'shaita v'lo kitchel asid lavo is that you're not allowed to be makriv even in the mokom ha-migdosh. Uleman di omer kitchel l'shaita v'kitchel asid lavo, savor di b'mokom ha-mizbeach mutu l'hakriv. That since the mokom ha-mizbeach never lost its kedusha, Therefore, you could be makriv in the makom of mizbeach as if the mikdash stood, which is called makrivim afal pishein bayis. I don't know if you're familiar with this sugya of makrivim afal pishein bayis. It has to do with what's called kedushas machitzos as opposed to kedushas makom. The entire controversy, which was 150 years ago, about whether we can bring a Korban Pesach in our time, it revolves around this sugya, very famous sugya, called Makrivim Afal Pishein Bayis. But be that as it may, according to Reb Chaim Cohen, everybody agrees, and it was never an issue, that once the Mikdash was built, there would never be a Heter Bamos. Even if I hold Kitchel Shait of a low Kitchel Asid Lovo. If I hold Kitchel Asid Lovo, then I could be Makriv a Korban in the Makom HaMizbeach because the Kedusha still inheres in the Makom HaMizbeach and I don't need a bias. So Rav Meir Simcha says the following. Mishum, what's the logic? In other words, okay, on a halachic technical level, I understand Rav Chaim Cohen. He's saying that once the Mikdash was built, it was what's called the Beis Olamim, and the Torah would never ever allow Bama. But on a philosophical level, if you're looking for Tamei Halacha, why should there be such a Halacha? Why should Hakrava B'Bama be completely undermined, dissolved? And the answer is Mishum the Anshei Knesses Hagdoli as a sugi in Yuma, but Linu LiYitzra the Avodah Zara. We laugh at Avodah Zara. Yeah, but if you go to the East, maybe you'll see that it's not so rare. I don't know how many billions of people, I mean, you could Google this and figure out how many people on the face of the earth, even in the year, what are we up to, 2020, are still worshipping idols. I was in Thailand, I'm not sure, very confusing to me what their religion exactly is all about, you know. But they did have, you know, different things that look like altars. I don't know. Don't ask me. I don't know. But Hinduism and so forth, I mean, they're still worshipping idols. But we laugh at it. Why do we laugh at it? And Chazal say about one of the Amoraim, I think it was Rav Ashi, said that if he was at the time before the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah prayed to Hashem to undermine and dissolve the Yetzer Hara, the inclination for Avodah Zarah, he would have picked up his garment and ran to do Avodah Zarah. It was such a powerful influence. But once they got rid of the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, im kein su ein tzorach lahakriv b'bama. There's no point to being makriv on a bama. Ligdar ha'am Avodah Zarah, the whole thing is just to distance people from Avodah Zarah. That's during the period of Avodah Zarah with a powerful Yetzer Hara and influence, an alluring impact. But now, there's no allurement to Avodah Zarah, and therefore Hashem wants only Reach Nichoach. That's the only enterprise of Korbanos that still exists, is the Reach Nichoach, is the Korban in the Beis HaMikdash. If the Beis HaMikdash stands, we bring a Korban and it's a Reach Nichoach. It has inherent meaning. If the Beis HaMikdash is gone, then we have to study the sugya of Kidshul Shaita and Kidshul Asid Lavo, and perhaps we can bring a Korban on the Makom HaMikdash even without the Mikdash, perhaps. But that's a Reach Nichoach. There's no such thing as a Korban on a Bama. Ein Chefetz Lashem, God has no desire b'bakar utzon b'bama, she'enam l'Reach Nichoach. The whole purpose, the enterprise of Hakrav of Bana exhausts itself in Lahagdir Shalo Yakriv Avodah Zarah. But Kibat Lo Yitzhar Avodah Zarah also Lahakriv B'Bama. And therefore it makes sense that even if I hold Kitchel Shaita, the low Kitchel Asid Lavo, nevertheless, Hashem doesn't want Hakrav of B'Bama. Hashem only gave us license and permission to be Makriv B'Bama. He doesn't want Hakrav of B'Bama. He doesn't want the entity of Karbonus without Reach Nichoach. He only allowed it because he realized we needed it. We needed it lafuke as our chokah for Avodah Zarah. But if there's no chokah necessary because the Yetzer of Avodah Zarah is gone, it's history, then we go back to square one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want Akrova B'Bama, and it's irrelevant if Kedusha L'Shaita, even if Lo Kidshalosid Lavo, says Reb Chaim Cohen, it's still also to be Makriv B'Karbon. And that's the great thesis here of Reb Meir Simcha in his introduction. Now what I'd like to do, only because of the time constraints, is to fast forward. Now everybody has a different printing of Rav Meir Simcha and his Hakdama to Sefer Yikra. In my printing, there's a paragraph towards the end that starts with the words Ubimenachos ben Azai. If you can find that text, again, here it's designated as a new paragraph, but I'm sure that in your editions, you'll have to dig it up. Maybe you could do a word search. I don't know how to tell you to find it. In any event, the Gemara at the end of Menachos quotes a very, very cryptic and mystical statement in the name of Ben Azai. And Rabbi Simcha wants to give a new twist on that statement of Ben Azai. Lo nichtav bekarvanos lo aleph lamed velo lokim el Hashem yud kei vav kei. There are three names of God that Ben Azai is addressing now. They're on the table. One is Kel, the other is Elokim, and the third is yud kei vav kei. And Ben Azai did a word search through the Torah, before the computer, in the Parshios of Karbonos, and he says you will only find one name of God of these three, and that's Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. You will not find neither Kel or Elokim. And why is that so? Shelo litein pischon peh lebal adin lachlok. He's using various phrases that are idiomatic, so to speak, or used as adages here in this context. And he says the following. Sometimes you have a Baal Din who wants to argue with you. You know, he's your adversary, and he's the litigant who has an argument against you. And what you do is you want to close the door and make it impossible for him to argue with you. And Ben Azai seems to imply that had the names of Kel or Elokim been utilized in the parasha of Karbonos, there would be room for a Baal Din Lachlok. Why? Why is it necessary that the Torah would use exclusively the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei in the context of Karbonos? Who is this Baal Din Lachlok? Who is this phantom enemy or adversary in Ben Azai's Weltanschauung? He says, Adora muvan al pi seichel, al pi muskel. I can explain it to you intellectually. Ki hakarbonos hayaminagetz al kol agoyim. Bringing sacrifices was a very common practice amongst the non-Jews, lekochos, ruchnios, miuchosos, lezatzuros. Apparently there were certain spiritual powers that you couldn't see with the naked eye, and they were floating around, so to speak, in the atmosphere of the universe, and the goyim would want to attach those kochos and those powers to a tzura, some sort of a physical, material Buddha, or I don't know, some sort of an idol. V'lo kein chelek Hashem amo. And in contrast, the Jewish people would completely reject this attitude that it is some sort of tzura that has power over the kochos in the world. Ki ein lem yachas The Jews will not relate to or acknowledge the existence or subjugate themselves to any sort of power. Rak Lashem Yisbarach, there's only one power. Hanimtza, Hamiti, there's only one real existence in the universe, and that is God. He's the Mamtzi Hakol. He created all. Mea Efes HaMuchlat, ex nihilo, from absolute nothingness. And therefore my avoda and my respect and honor will be Rak Lashem HaMiyuchad Bilvad. Shem HaMiyuchad here is a reference to Yudkei Vavke. V'chein b'chol prat Tzien HaBorei HaHevdil Ben HaKorbanos Shal HaGoyim LeKorbanos SheTzivas Amo Yisrael. God will over and over again make it absolutely clear the contrast between our Jewish Karbanos and the Karbanos of the Goyim. And we'll always add the word Yudke Vavke. For example, he quotes a few examples in Shmos Perk Ches, Zevach Lashem, Lashem is Yudke Vavke. In Shmos Perk Lamed, Lahakter Ishe Lashem, Yudke Vavke. And now, Rabbeinu Simcha explains the difference between this name of God and the others. Zeu Kavanas HaMaimar, this is what Ben Azai had in mind. Ki Hashem, the name Yudke Vavke, which really means being, with a capital B, Lo Nikral Eza Koach Miyuchad. This is not the God of creation, this is not the God of energy, or the God of the sun, or of any other forces in the universe. In contrast with Kemoshe Metzina B'Shem Elokim, you will see the word Elohim with a hey, in other words, pronounced with Elohim, when it refers to, for example, a judge or to an angel. You will find throughout Tanakh that an angel will be called Elohim, a judge will call Elohim, like Elohim Dvar Yavo Dvar Shneem. Why is it that the name Elohim, which is the name of God, is common to God and to angels and judges? Because the name Elohim, who rak al koach kol hakochos ve'ilos ha'ilos ve'sivas kol hanitzoyim, hanimtzoyim. The name Elohim indicates that Hashem, we call it, and you'll see this in Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim Volozhin, is Baal HaKochos Kulam. That all the forces that operate within the universe ultimately emanate from one unified source, the source of sources, the God of all gods, the power of all powers, and that's Elohim. Elohim is, as we said, I just repeat myself, the source of all powers, the source of all causes, and the cause of all existing things. So all the kochos that you see in the universe that seem to manufacture and produce and generate different things, they all emanate from one source with a capital S, and that's Elohim. Lachain, Ha'am, the people of Israel, at the time of the Torah, Adayin lo hayinaki levavam, they were not purified, Me'argoshas ha'kozvos ha'dimyonios, from those false gods and imaginary deities that were so common amongst the Goyim in the idol worshippers. And I'll prove it to you, he says. Kasher misibazu chatu b'egel. He says, because of this reason, they sinned and they worshipped the egel. They were still contaminated by the influence of the Goyim. Again, we don't appreciate why that is such a powerful allurement, because we live in the post-Bittul Avodah Zarah period. He says, Rak al koach kol hakochos, etc. Lachena am, the people of Israel were still under the influence at that time of the allurement of the Egel of Avodah Zarah. Lachena omer paro, al kein tzokim, your chachamim are yelling to me, nizbechol elokeinu. And it's interesting that when Paro talks about the korbanos that the Jewish people want to bring, he quotes it as Elokeinu. In other words, he's the one who uses the name Elohim. However, Ulam, Hashotrim, the Shodrim of Klal Yisrael, who are the Muflogim b'Chachmasam, they were the real scholars. Hizaru b'divrehem. They didn't use the word Nizbechal Elokeinu, because Elokim is not going to be at that time an appropriate word to describe our Akrova. Because Elokim, as we said before, is the source of all sources, the power of all powers. And here there's a room for a Baal Din Yachlok, that maybe the different Chashon, different powers and different Rishuyos. Lochein Omalehem, Alkein Atem Omrim, Nizbecha Lashem. Here the pasuk goes out of its way to use the name Yudke Vovke. When he's referring to the Shotrim, it's Yudke Vovke. The Ayin, okay, then he tells you to look in the Zohar. Now, what's happening here, just to summarize up until this moment, is that according to Meshech Chachma, there is a fundamental, essential difference between Hakrova Bibama and Akrova Bimigdash. The latter is the real McCoy, has an impact in Olamos, it will exist eternally, it's called Reach Nichoach, and even after Mashiach comes, we'll still be bringing Karbonos as a Reach Nichoach in order to satisfy the Olamos and bring Nachas Ruach Tashem because of this unification of different worlds above. Whereas Hakrova Bibama is not something that God's happy with. It was only a way of sort of condescending, you know, to appreciate the alluring influence of Avodah Zarah and redirect our Kavanos L'Shem Shamayim. And it was not Reach Nichoach. It's not an eternal business. It's only a temporary thing during the times of the strong allurement and the power of the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. But after that, power and allurement is gone. The whole institutional enterprise of Karbanos and Obama is completely, completely gone. It's Asur. And both the Rambam and the Ramban, according to his thesis, will both subscribe to this, and therefore Elu V'Elu, they're both saying the right thing. It's all correct. And he adds that that's why Ben Azai in the end of Masechta Menachos points out that the name Elokim or Kel, which all words of God, names of God that indicate His might and His powers, are left out of the parish of Karbonos, because we're not talking about different powers. I mean, that's already you know, Avodah Zarah kind of talk, you know, different powers and different kochos in the world. No. We're talking about Yud Kei Vav Kei, and that's where the Reach Nichoach is Lashem. The only last point I would like to add here is Rabbi Simcha sheds a light on a pasuk in Tehillim, and that's again, if you could find this, it's a little bit after the point that we stopped before earlier. It's a paragraph that starts here, Yevuar Bazeh, and if you happen to find it, if not now, maybe you'll find it later. It says Yevur Bazeb Psuke Tehillim Nun Aleph. It says Kilo Tachpots Zevach V'etna Ola Lo Tirtse. And it sounds like Hashem in this pasuk is not at all excited about our zvachim. And Ola lo tirtze, he doesn't want our carbon. Ola lo tichvot v'zevach, and that in Perek Nun Aleph is in Pasuk Yudches. If you fast forward to Pasuk Chaf Aleph, it says there in the same chapter, the same context, it says Heitiva birtzoncha es Tzion tivnech chomos Yerushalayim v'yaz tachbots zivchei tzedek ola v'kolil. Gives you the exact opposite impression. He says, Tichpots, Zivchei Tzedek, Olav Ekolil. All of a sudden, Hashem's chefetz, his desire, has changed around a full, 180 degree turnaround. So at the beginning of the pasuk in the parash, it says, Lo Tichpot Zevach, Ola Lo Tirtza. And then it says, Tichpot Zivchei Tzedek, Olav Ekolil. Says Rabbi Simcha, the difference is the beginning of that second section, it says, Hey Tiva Birn Schoncha Es Tzion, Tivnech Omos Yushalayim. When Yushalayim is built. And here, the beginning of the parasha, the resha, if you want to call it that, he's referring to Bama. And a Bama is not a carbon that Hashem is excited about. He doesn't want karbonos on a Bama. They're not reach nichoach in the absence of reach nichoach. Then it's only our chokum yavodah zara. Then that's only a way in which God has to, so to speak, allow something, permit something, because of the he condescends. I'm looking for an English word, which I'm not finding now, but he has to recognize that the Jewish people are not on the level that they should be at, and they have to somehow break away from that ruach of Avodah Zarah. That's not Reach Nichoach. That's not something that Hashem is excited about. He has to give in, because otherwise we might be tempted to violate Avodah Zarah. But it's nothing more than a protective measure because of our dire situation. It's not something that's positive and lechatchila. But Heitiv Chaber Tzonecha Es Tzion Tiv Nechomos Yerushalayim. Now we're building Yerushalayim. Oz Tichvot Zivchei Tzedek. Now God wants the Karbonos. Sha'oz Yeh Etzem HaKarbonos Chefetz HaBorei B'emes. This is what really God desires. He wants the Karbonos Le'inyon Nichbad, for a very important, powerful glorification of God. Lekariv olamos lahoy lechol olam kulo. This is meaningful on a spiritual level, up in the universes, up in the upper worlds. And there's no contradiction between the two presentations to the answer of whether God wants HaKarbonos or doesn't. The initial negative answer, and then the positive answer, because the difference is that when Tzion is built, and the Chomus Yerushalayim are established, the Mikdash is there, then it becomes Reach Nichoach, then the Karbonos have an inherent meaning, and they have a power which is incredible, to bring Kavod, to be Makarif Olamos, and that's meaningful for the entire world. So I would take this moment to pause and ask Hashem to bring about the fulfillment of Es Tzion Tivneh and Chomos Yerushalayim Tivneh, and we should see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, and then we'll be able to bring Karbonos as God wants us to, L'Reach Nichoach L'Hashem Ken Yiratzon. I just want to point out that there are many other very important paragraphs in Parashas Devarim, in the Meshech Chochma, with many different insights and messages. But since we mentioned Reach Nichoach, let's take a look for a moment in Perek Gimel of Sefer Vayikra, Pasuk Aleph, V'im Zevach Shlomim Karbano, when the Torah introduces the laws of a Karban Shlomim in Perek Gimel of Sefer Vayikra. And Rav Meir Simcha points out that B'chol HaMinim Nemar Reach Nichoach. Now Reach Nichoach, we said in the introduction to Sefer Vayikra, indicates the power inherent in the Karbonos. But it also has to do with our responsibility to bring the carbon for the right intention. And he says the following: Rak bekesev shehu makriv lo nema reach nichoach. So he says that later on in this perek gimel pasuk zayin, it doesn't say the words reach nichoach, and that's what Rav Meir Simcha wants to answer, to explain. He says, "Vatam mishum dibaolaksiv." With regard to carbon ola, it says, "Yakriv oso lirtzono." In other words, he should bring the carbon for the ratzon Hashem, to fulfill God's will. That's at the very beginning of Sefer Vayikra and Perek Aleph. Al b'shlamim, in shlamim, it doesn't say lirtzono. Let's just see what he means. He says, "Avo b'shlamim shayu asurim lechol basa taiva b'midbar." He quotes a sheet of Rabbi Yishmael in Masechta Chulin Daf Yud Zayin, that if a person wanted to eat basar during the period of the midbar, which we call basar taiva, just for the sake of enjoying basar, they would have to bring a korban shlom. Otherwise, there was no other heter to eat basar, which we call basar taiva, in the midbar, only through a korban shlom. Is therefore lo haya hegdesh lirtzono rak sheyochal basar. There's always a possibility that a person would bring a korban shlomim, not litzono, not because he wants to fulfill God's will, because he really believes that God wants him to bring the korban shlomim, but it's just as a way of bringing this matir to allow him to eat basar taiva. So he's not motivated l'shem ritzono. And this seems to indicate that in the case of korban shlomim, there's this sort of implicit problem that the korban might not be lirtzono. It's only liyochel basal. Chen k'siv b'loshen tzivui ubakosha b'parshas kedoshim. So if we fast forward to Perek Yutes of Sefer Vayikra, the Torah commands us and even begs us, v'chi sizbechu zevach shlom lirtzonchem tizbechu. That you have to go out of your way in the case of shlomim to have the right ratzon. Kevon shal korchach atomakdisho. In other words, if you know you have no choice but to be magdish this carbon in order to allow yourself to eat the basa taiva, but savecho sol liratzon belev gomur. And Hashem here goes out of his way to implore us and to mandate the directive of Litzon that we should have a Ratzon him. I mean, to make sure that although you might be motivated to eat Basa Taiva and therefore you only have a heter by bringing this Korban Shlomim, but nevertheless make sure that you have the right Kavanas Litzon in this Korban, to Ritzui Korban. V'lachein lo k'siv rech nichoach. And we said that here in the Parsha of Shlomim, in Pasuk Zion, the Torah omitted Reach Nichoach. And the reason for that is Reach Nichoach Mora ala Ratzon Dimiskabel Beru'ua Kodem Hashem. That Hashem will certainly have this Ratzon of accepting our Korban, Reach Nichoach. And at least in the case of a Keves that he brings a sheep, there's a good chance that he's bringing it simply to eat the meat. And he's not really bringing it fully for the Ratzon Hashem. And now he differentiates between par and eis as opposed to keves. He says, Mishum de par vi eis. In the case of a cow or a goat, it does mention Reach Nichoach. Why? And he says, "Ein hefsed li adam amakriv shabasar ochel veachelev beloze osur lechol." If I understand correctly, Rabbi Meir Simcha is saying that he loses absolutely nothing by being makriv these animals. He's only gaining. He's allowed to eat the meat. And the chalif he couldn't eat anyway, so that gets burnt on the mizbeach, but he couldn't have eaten it in any event. Be'imishum chaz v'shok, and if you'll tell me now he has to give up on the chaz v'shok and give it to the kohen, so why would he want to bring this as a korban? He doesn't gain, he loses. He says, halo bechulin tzarech litein zro l'chayayin. So in the case of these animals, even if they weren't hegdesh, he would still have to give up the Zorah L'Chayayim, because Matnas Kohun of Zorah L'Chayayim are not dependent upon Hegdesh and Chulin. Abel B'Kesev Mafsid Ha'alya. Right, there's a certain part of the fats that you're allowed to eat, and that gets burnt on the Mizbeach as a Karbon. Shemuteres L'Chilim Akriva L'Gavoa V'Ulai Chas V'Sholom Ulai Chasalei V'ein ritzono sholim v'dovar. You know, now that he's losing something, a very tasty part of the animal is now going to go up in smoke on the mizbeach. Is lachein lo kosev reach nichoach. Maybe he doesn't have the full-fledged will to bring this karbon. He's a little bit disappointed about his hefsed, his loss. Now, in the case of Menachos, we don't have to worry about his full-fledged ratzon. Why? B'chol Menachos, k'siv reach nichoach, levadi minchas pikurim, delo k'siv reach nichoach. Neshi chova uba lahatir chadosh, v'yulai eno makrivim gak lahatir chadosh. He says that in all the Menachos we'll find reach nichoach. We have no, Hashem has no hesitation, inhibition. He knows that a person is bringing a karbon mincha l'ratzon, because he's not losing anything by bringing the karbon mincha. So he's not, in a sense, disappointed or holding back on his ratzon. He has full-fledged ratzon, and therefore Hashem says that's going to be l'reach nichoach. The only exception to that rule is the karbon mincha that was brought on Shavuos to accompany the kivsei atzeres. That's called minchas bikurim. And that was not... There the Torah omits reach nichoach. Why? Because once again, it could be he doesn't have full-fledged ratzon. Maybe he's bringing this mincha in order to be matir iser chadash. And furthermore, he says, he shall see orin, another reason why reach nichoach is omitted here, because this is the only mincha that's brought from barley. She'eino meichel adam, it's not usually designated for human consumption. We make different kinds of breads out of barley, but it's really animal consumption. So that based on the principle here of Rav Meir Simcha, that the Torah omits reach nichoach with regard to a karbon where there's a svara to say that he doesn't have a complete ratzon, so that's going to apply to the case of minchas bikurim for one of two reasons, and there the Torah is going to omit reach nichoach. There are, as I said before, there are a number of different paragraphs here in Rav Meir Simcha's commentary on Parshas Dvarim that we could speak about. He has a whole discussion in Perek Alpha Pasuk Tes about the Isur Gezel v'Karbonos, and in Pasuk Yud he's got a discussion about Safon, which in a case of a Karbon Ola, the Torah mentions Safon, the northern part of the Azora. That's in a case of Olas Tzon, not Nolas Bokar. And Safon has something to do with Akedis Yitzchak. He has a whole discussion insight into that. And in the second chapter, Sefer Dvarim in Pasuk Yud Aleph, he's got a long discussion about the difference between grapes and the wine that you get out of grapes, as opposed to the fig and the dvash, the juices that you get out of the fig. And he compares that to Avos Ubon, a very interesting piece of Rav Meir Simcha. So with that, I would close the shiur, and hope you got something out of the shiur. Wish everybody a good Shabbos.